porcelain wash basin with a pitcher of water on a nearby stool. Not glamorous, exactly, but not much worse than my IRL apartment. Poverty lens perspective, I suppose. I headed in and dropped onto the bed with a sigh of exhaustion, and I found I really was tired. Weary all the way down to the bone, as though I'd just worked a double shift, then hit the gym for a couple of hours. As with the hunger, I hadn't expected this aspect to feel quite so real. It was almost too lifelike.
"You need anything else?"
Cutter asked, lingering at the door.
"'Cause if not, I have a very concerned waitress named Stephanie, who I need to see as soon as possible. Urgent business."
He offered me a sly wink.
"Mind if I ask a personal question before you go?"
He shrugged, nodded.
"No skin off my back one way or the other. Just make it quick. Stephanie won't wait forever."
For a long second, I thought about asking him whether he was an NPC or an actual player. So far, he was the only person I'd had extended contact with since entering VGO, and I honestly couldn't tell if he was a part of the game. It was uncanny. Creepy. I'd played a lot of MMORPGs, but I'd never seen an NPC that could do what he did. I'd never seen an NPC that had his range of emotion or conversational prowess. I had IRL co-workers that seemed less human than Cutter.
"Never mind," I finally said with a shake of my head. I wasn't sure how to ask the question without offending him, and part of me didn't really want to know the answer anyway. If Cutter was an NPC, that meant he was nothing more than a string of digits existing on some server somewhere. But in another couple of days, my body was going to die, and if I survived the process, I was going to be nothing more than a string of digits existing on a server. So, what did that say about my future? If he wasn't real, did that mean in another couple of days I wouldn't be real either? That was a frightening thought I didn't much care to dwell on. Besides, I was simply too tired for an existential crisis.
"All right," he said, tapping the doorframe. "Well, you get some rest. I'll see you in the morning."
He turned and pulled the door shut behind him with a soft thud. Alone at last, I kicked off my leather boots and lay back on the mattress, which was surprisingly comfortable despite the fact that it looked to be made of straw. If I didn't know any better, I'd say the bed was actually memory foam, regardless of its physical appearance. I knew I needed sleep, but first I needed a distraction from my thoughts. This was the first real break I'd had since entering the game, so it seemed like an appropriate time to check out my character stats and see if I'd missed any other updates since I'd turned notifications off during combat. With a thought, I pulled up my character menu, then toggled from my inventory to my main menu. A semi-translucent vertical options menu popped up in the right side of my vision. Inventory, spellcraft, skills, class abilities, character, party, quests, map, message log, notifications, achievements, auction house. I whistled softly. That was a lot of content to explore. Assuming I survived the integration process, though, I'd have a lot of time to delve into those other features. What I really wanted to see, however, was my character stats. So I selected character from the menu. An extensive table immediately popped up. I lay there for a while, eyeing everything. Most of the stats looked pretty similar to the other MMORPGs I'd played in the past. Still, it didn't pay to make assumptions. So I pulled up the game wiki to see if I could find anything. Although I hadn't had much luck with the wiki so far, I was happily surprised to see information was starting to trickle in on a host of different topics. A variety of users were posting their initial experiences with the game, and one thing was immediately clear. The startup sequence was different for everyone. Drastically so. Some people started in holding cells like I had, though no one mentioned a character named Cutter, which led me to believe he was a unique NPC. While others woke up at taverns, in forests, and even, occasionally, in the heat of an ongoing battle. The variety was truly fascinating, but I didn't want to get bogged down, so I forced myself to close out the general forum and pulled up a search bar instead. It only took me a handful of seconds to find a whole glut of information on basic character stats. Most of it from players, but some of it straight from Ozmark Technologies. By and large, the primary attributes seemed pretty straightforward. Strength increases attack strength, AS, and overall armor rating. Vitality increases overall hit points, HP, and health regeneration. Constitution increases stamina, stamina regeneration, and carrying capacity. Dexterity improves reflexes, including chance to evade and chance to block, while also affecting ranged attack strength, RAS, and attack strength, AS, for certain classes. Intelligence increases overall spell strength, SS, and adds 0.1% to all resistances per point. Spirit increases the maximum spirit and spirit regeneration. The last stat, luck, didn't actually seem to affect any tangible character skills. There was some speculation that luck influenced dropped items, gold amount or item rarity, but no one seemed to know anything for sure. The material provided by Ozmark didn't offer much clarity either. There was one thing everyone agreed on, though. Luck was a locked attribute, at least for the time being. At level 3, I'd earn 10 points to distribute however I wanted. But since I wasn't sure what class I'd be taking, I decided not to invest them yet. In every RPG I'd ever played, maximizing your points based on your class and build was key to having a powerhouse character at higher levels. I closed out of the character screen and saw I had a new notification. Apparently, I had a PM in my player inbox. It was from a friend of mine, Abby, the game developer who worked for Ozmark Technologies, the same developer that had hooked me up with my next-gen VR capsule in the first place.
Personal message. Jack, I wasn't sure you were going to take the leap or not, but I'm glad to see you're in here. Look, I've got a sensitive, ultra-rare quest. It's sort of a hidden feature created by some of the devs at Ozmark, but I need someone I can trust on this. I need you on this. I don't want to say too much, but this is big. Could be a game changer for us. I've attached a scroll of teleport to this message. Just activate it, and it'll bring you right to the quest location. Please meet me tomorrow afternoon, 2 p.m. in game time. This is a time-sensitive mission, so please don't be late. Abby.
I fell asleep staring at the PM, wondering about what kind of game-changing quest Abby could have stumbled across. Training. An alarm blared inside my ear. I shot up in bed, staring around wild-eyed, my hands groping at the straw mattress.
Where was I?
I blinked bleary eyes, squinting against the feeble sunlight trickling in through a dull semi-opaque window. I frantically searched for the alarm clock. That blaring was driving me up a wall. But as my vision adjusted, I couldn't find the source of the noise. Nothing looked familiar to me. I'd expected to wake up on my worn couch after a long night of gaming, but instead, I was in some sort of Renfest-themed hotel, and I still couldn't find that alarm.
Purp, 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 purp.
I swung my legs over the edge of the bed and stared in shock. I was wearing crude leggings, leather armor, and my skin was a muted gray. My skin was gray. This had to be a nightmare. Did I go out for drinks last night and overdo it? Maybe someone laced my drink with something. I reached up, grinding the palms of my hands into my temples, trying to block out the noise so I could think. That only made it worse, though. It was like the alarm was actually going off inside my head, clanging like a pair of cymbals over and over again.
Someone turn that alarm off, I hollered.
And just like that, the noise died.
Alarm dismissed.
came Sophia's comforting voice, also resounding inside my skull. The current time in Eldgard is 7:15 a.m. You have been asleep for approximately 10 real-world hours. You have an automated message from the Osmark Technologies customer support team. Would you like to play it? I continued to rub at my head, which pulsed with a dull pain, but agreed to listen to the recording. "Welcome, traveler," said a friendly male voice. "My name is Matthew, and I'm your customer support representative. Our system records indicate you've spent your first full night in Viridian Gate Online. Congratulations!" Many fellow travelers have reported severe disorientation and head pain after their first night of in-game rest. These symptoms are common and are not a cause for concern. The confusion will pass in a few minutes, and a hearty meal at your nearest inn or tavern will help with any head pain or other lingering after effects. Thank you for playing. The message cut off, leaving me in early morning silence. I sat there for a few more minutes, disoriented and unsure. Slowly, slowly, it came back to me. VGO. The asteroid. The end of the world. The potential death sentence hanging over my head like the sword of Damocles. I shuddered involuntarily as a crushing wave of depression washed over me. All I wanted to do was lie back down and close my eyes until this was all over. Fall asleep until either the world died or I did. But then I remembered my training appointment with Cutter at 8 a.m. And despite how awful I felt, I certainly didn't want to miss that. So, reluctantly, I pulled myself from the bed with a profound groan, splashed a little digital water onto my face from the wash basin, then headed down to the tavern below for breakfast. The bartender, the same rotund, balding man from the night before, served me a bowl of warm mush that tasted like honeyed oatmeal. He tried to make small talk, but my grunted, monosyllabic replies quickly drove him away in search of more friendly patrons. Matthew, from customer support, had been dead right about the food, though. By the time Cutter strutted in like a garish peacock, my headache was gone. My attitude had improved significantly, and I mostly felt like myself again.
"Sleep all right?"
he asked as he guided me back behind the tavern front and into the training room. "Yeah, slept fine," I replied with a nod, but I woke up feeling like someone beat my head in with a brick. He nodded.
"I've heard rumors," he whispered conspiratorially, "that some travelers experience such symptoms for the first few days here in Eldgard. Something to deal with migrating from one realm to another. Some travelers, they don't adjust well to Eldgard. For whatever reason, they're incompatible with our world. Assuming your head doesn't explode in the next 3 days," he said, cocking a finger and pointing it at my skull, "the sickness will pass, and you'll be fine. A permanent citizen, like me. Well, almost like me, just uglier. Uglier and less skilled. Now, let's try to make you slightly less terrible at life, shall we?"
He winked as he shepherded me into a currently unoccupied room with lots of arrow slits, which let in sporadic spears of brilliant sunlight. The rest of the room, however, was coated in deep shadow. Those shadows, thick as a blanket, seemed to wither and crawl, to reach for me like a forest of dark hands. Something uncomfortable and cold stirred inside my chest, unfurling icy tendrils through my limbs, reminding me of the black handprint branded onto my forearm. Reminding me of the shadow spark ability the dying Mathal shaman had unlocked within me.
"Welcome to the Shadow Room," Cutter said, breaking the tenuous spell as he swept out an arm. "This, Grimjack, is where we teach rookies like you the fine art of stealth."
He shuffled through a shaft of light and into a pool of shadow. In a blink, he was gone. Disappeared.
"Impressive, eh?"
he asked, still invisible.
"You'll never be as good as me, obviously, but with a little work, you could probably stealth your way past a blind guard."
We spent the next 2 hours slinking about the room, stealing from one pool of black to the next. He showed me several different methods to improve my meager abilities. First, he walked me through how to fade, which involved using camouflage and cover to blend into the surroundings and seem innocuous. Then, he showed me how to roll silently, and even how to perform quick stealth dashes, meant to close in on an enemy while their backs were turned. The work was grueling. My thighs and calves burned from the low squat walking, and my shoulders ached from rolling and falling, which were apparently important qualities for someone who wanted to be sneaky. Cutter was a great teacher, though, and his work paid off. By the time we were finished, my stealth ability had increased to level 6, which meant my chance to successfully hide from enemies climbed from 7% to 17%. Not exactly a ninja warrior, but not half bad either. On top of that, I gained a new character level, which brought me up to level 4 and gave me an extra 5 points to distribute. Just after 10 a.m., Cutter called it quits on the stealth practice and led me over to a new area, a padded sparring ground with a few straw practice dummies. He removed a knife from the sheath at his side, holding it up in the light, examining its gleaming blade closely.
"Now, I can't teach you anything about that ridiculous barbaric club of yours,"
he nodded toward the heavy-headed warhammer hanging at my side,
"but maybe I can still teach you something. Sure, knife work has its own principles, but the basics of a good scrap are often the same, regardless of the weapons. Now, take out that glorified carpenter's tool and have at me."
I pulled out the weapon, hands flexing around the haft, feeling its comforting weight in my grip. Then I charged him, raising the hammer up high and barreling forward with a roar. I swung down in a wicked arc, only to find Cutter tap dancing away with a little fancy footwork. My attack whiffed completely, and the weight of the hammer carried me forward and off balance. A sharp pain like a red-hot fire poker slipped into my back near my kidney. I gasped, choked, and stumbled to the ground, dropping my weapon as I clumsily reached for my back. The pain made me want to vomit.
"Most of the brawlers you're going to fight out there," Cutter said, circling to my front, "are going to be stronger than you. They're going to have better weapons, tougher armor, and even if you end up as a tank, the truth is, there's always someone bigger, faster, stronger. So you need to be smarter. Misdirection and a well-placed blow will often fell even the most imposing warriors. Now, back on your feet."
For the next 2 hours, we went over basic fighting techniques, first covering a variety of stances, then launching into guards, defenses, and attacks. As tough as the stealth session had been, the fighting lesson proved to be even more difficult. Certainly more challenging than any MMO I'd ever experienced. In most games, attacks consisted of a few key strokes or the right combination of buttons. Not here. Here, I had to actually perform the maneuvers, know the techniques, watch for the openings, and respond with the correct block or counter. I did seem to be learning the techniques much faster than I would have IRL. It almost felt like remembering something I'd once forgotten, even though I'd never done anything even remotely like this in my life. The fact that Cutter constantly stabbed me when I did things wrong may have also contributed to this speedy learning curve. Once again, though, Cutter's grueling regimen paid off, earning me another level up, while also unlocking a new skill.
Skill: Blunt Weapons. Blunt weapons such as maces, hammers, and clubs can cause massive damage to foes. Blunt weapons are especially effective against undead creatures and heavily armored opponents. This skill is always in effect and costs no stamina to use. Skill type: Level. Passive: Level 1. Cost: None. Effect: Increases blunt weapon damage by 5%.
We finished up our training session around noon, then beelined for the tavern. Lunchtime at long last. Which Cutter assured me would help with the aches and pains from our practice. We grabbed a table in the corner, well away from the few other patrons loitering around, and ate some meaty stew with thick gravy and freshly baked bread, warm and fluffy. I was more than happy to admit that Cutter had been right. Just like this morning, the food set me straight in no time, easing my sore muscles as effectively as a great night's sleep and a couple of painkillers thrown in for good measure. I still had a couple of hours to kill before I was supposed to rendezvous with Abby, but I decided heading over early wouldn't be a terrible idea. I could always wander around and grind out some EXP. Cutter, you have any plans for today? I asked off the cuff, eyeing him over the edge of a hefty beer stein. He shrugged noncommittally and ripped off a chunk of flaky bread.
Nothing official, he replied, smacking loudly as he chewed. Why, you got something in mind?
A job, I said curtly. One from a friend of mine. He swallowed, took a gulp of mead, then wiped his face with his sleeve and belched. A real smooth operator.
If it's lucrative enough, you might be able to twist me arm. What do you have?
I filled him in on the scant details and watched as his smile grew wider and wider with every sentence. Twelve. The Grind. At just after 12:30, Cutter and I teleported into a wide, grassy clearing, ringed by trees on every side. Warm sunlight washed down from above, warming my exposed skin as a cool wind rustled my hair. I turned in a circle, staring at the wildflowers dotting the field, taking in the distant mountain vistas. I halted as the fallen ruins at the northern end of the clearing came into view. A circle of drunkenly leaning stones, remarkably similar to Stonehenge, butted up against the tree line. In the center of the stone ring was a yawning pit with a set of crude stairs leading down toward an elaborately wrought door. My first real dungeon. I pulled up my player map to see where exactly this ruin was located. The map came up fine and detailed my surroundings, but it refused to show me my in-world location at all, which was odd in the extreme. I could have been 10 minutes outside Rowanheath or on the other side of the world. Cutter, I said, turning toward the thief, do you know where we are? My map won't display the world location.
What do you mean, the map won't display the world location?
He replied with an eye roll.
You're probably just reading it wrong, because you're a moron. Give me a second.
His face went strangely blank for a long beat. He stood unnaturally still with his head slightly canted for a full minute before finally snapping out of it and offering a soft whistle.
Bollocks, you're right. I can't pull up world location info. Which means this is supposed to be a restricted area.
He gleefully rubbed his hands together.
We're not supposed to be here.
He sounded excited by the prospect. And for once, I shared his delinquent enthusiasm. My inner gamer was practically doing backflips at the thought of getting the first crack at a new, restricted zone. Maybe Allie really had discovered something game-changing. We've got a couple hours before my friend shows up, I said. Any chance you want to go out and hunt down some mobs with me? Get a little extra experience before we tackle those ruins? He pressed his lips into a tight line and gave me a you-must-be-crazy look.
Yeah, no.
He flopped down into the lush grass and lounged back, lacing his hands behind his head and staring up at the clouds.
As thrilling as hunting down generic forest critters for mediocre loot sounds, and trust me, it sounds great. I think I'll just camp out here and wait for the real action to start. Keep myself fresh. You understand?
He closed his eyes and smiled, basking in the sunlight. Fine, I replied. But I'm going on record here. You're the worst teammate on the planet.
You'll change your tune when we're in the thick of things, I think, he said, never bothering to look at me. Now, run along.
I turned away from the sunbathing thief and headed east into the forest, grumbling the whole time about how worthless he was. When I finally made it to the tree line, I took a moment to open my limited map, set up a personal quest marker, then set an alarm for 1:30, so I'd have plenty of time to get back to the clearing. With that done, I took off, weaving my way haphazardly through the forest until the ruins vanished completely behind me. It didn't take long before I heard something big and heavy rustle through the brush ahead of me. I pulled my warhammer from the leather frog at my belt and quickly dropped into stealth, creeping from tree to tree, clinging to the shadows. After a few heartbeats of tense stalking, I glanced around the trunk of a leafy birch and saw the source of the commotion. A pair of shambling creatures. Corrupt Waldgeist. Composed of discarded branches, rotten greenery, goopy black mud, and odd bits of stone or bone. They were bigger than me, broad across the shoulders and oddly lopsided. They also looked about as slow as a couple of three-toed sloths, which was good news for me since running was still high on my defensive strategy list. The pair milled around listlessly and didn't seem particularly alert. Should be easy game, perfect for a little leveling. Still, a tight bead of fear sat in my belly, spurred on by the memory of Cutter's painful knife jabs during our training session. I didn't really know what these things were or what they were capable of, and there was a good chance they'd hurt me. Badly. "You've got to suck it up and get over the fear," I scolded myself. This was my new life now, and yes, getting injured was unpleasant, but it was also the only path to success. I steeled myself, resolve sharpening to a knife's edge, and pushed on, moving forward with only a whisper of sound. I circled around until I was behind the creatures, then slipped into the open, bringing up my hammer for a brutal killing blow. I lunged into the swing, putting the full weight of my upper body into the strike. The first creature's head exploded in a shower of forest debris, its legs crumpling as its body dropped to the floor. "Critical hit. Stealth attack damage." The words flashed over the corpse, but I paid them no mind, turning my attention to the second corrupt Waldgeist. I spun just in time to see a huge fist, capped with a wrecking ball of stone, sail toward me. I saw it, but I wasn't quick enough to avoid it. I shuffled back, bringing up my hammer in an awkward block which diverted the strike. Instead of pulverizing my face, the creature's rock fist slipped down, colliding into my chest. The sledgehammer knocked me back into a nearby pine tree and ate up a fifth of my HP, despite being a glancing blow. I reeled from the vicious thump and lost my footing, hitting the ground with a thud. With a grimace, I clutched at my battered chest and tried to gain my feet, but couldn't. Something was holding me down. Roots. Brown snarls of foliage had emerged from the ground, twining around my ankles and thighs, wrapping tight and pulling me into the dirt. A message flashed in front of me. Debuff added. Rooted, you have been entangled and are unable to move. Duration, 30 seconds. I beat and clawed at the brown and green tangles of vegetation ensnaring me, but it was no use. And before I knew it, the bulky, slow-moving creature loomed over me. A crude, earthen fist cannonballed into my mouth, knocking my head back and conjuring a gout of bloody saliva, which trickled down the back of my throat. I wasn't sure if I could lose teeth in this game, but I was going to find out. My life bar flashed. Less than 10% of my HP remained. That last strike had been a monster. I frantically fought to bring up both my warhammer and the crude wooden buckler strapped to my left arm. Anything to stop or divert another attack long enough for the root debuff to vanish. The corrupt Waldgeist swatted away my weapon with a lazy backhand, leaving me rooted to the ground, completely defenseless, with next to no HP left to my name. In my gut, I knew I was dead. The creature raised its clubbed fist again, ready to deliver the killing blow, to bludgeon me into a bloody smear. Cold, rage, boiled inside me at the thought of dying like this, at the indignity of it. I flatly rejected the idea of having my head caved in by some mindless, muddy shambler in some forgotten backwoods while Cutter sunbathed in a meadow 20 minutes away. Especially since I didn't actually know how respawns worked here. Would I end up back in the meadow, or all the way back in Rowanheath? Would it be instantaneous, or would it take several hours? I didn't have a clue, but I absolutely refused to find those answers like this. A familiar chill radiated out from the blackened handprint on my forearm, roaring through my body, fueled by the sudden flash of anger. The creature's fist descended, slicing through the air.
No!
I yelled, throwing one hand forward in a final act of desperation, hoping to somehow halt the attack. My mouth fell open in shocked surprise as a bolt of angry, withering shadow erupted from my palm, slamming into the creature's neck like a dull machete. The creature staggered from the impact, shuffling stupidly before its head finally tumbled from its lopsided shoulders into the forest floor. Its body shortly followed suit, collapsing into a heap of sticks and rock and mud. I sat there, staring at my hand, totally flabbergasted. What did I just do? Several status windows popped up, one right after the other.
Times one, level up. You have 25 undistributed stat points. Stat points can be allocated at any time. You have 5 unassigned proficiency points. Proficiency points can be allocated at any time.
Quest update. Plight of the Martal. In an act of desperation, you've tapped into your inborn Shadow Spark ability, drawing on the dark power of the Umbra. In doing so, you have spent 1 proficiency point of the spell Umbra Bolt and initiated the specialized path of the Shadowmancer. In order to unlock the Shadowmancer class kit, speak to Chief Cole of the Arcani clan in the Storm Marshes and complete the Martal initiation ordeal.
Quest class. Rare. Class-based. Quest difficulty. Hard. Success. Report to Chief Cole and survive the Martal initiation ordeal. Failure. Die during the Martal initiation ordeal. Reward. Class change. Dark Templar. Shadowmancer kit.
Skill. Umbra Bolt. Launch a fierce bolt of shadow energy that causes damage and also temporarily blinds the target. As your proficiency with Umbra Bolt increases, both damage and the duration of blindness increase. At higher levels, Umbra Bolt also has a chance of causing confusion. Your target may become panicked and start to randomly attack friendly forces.
Skill type, level. Spell, initiate. Cost, 75 spirit. Range, 100 meters, sight. Cast time, 1.5 seconds. Cooldown. N.A. Effect, Shadow Damage, 160% SS. Effect 2, Blindness, Duration 5 seconds.
Restriction. Due to current class restrictions, you may only use Umbra Bolt when your health drops below 15%. To remove this restriction, you must change your class to Dark Templar.
Wow. There was so much awesome, I didn't even know where to begin. First, I'd reached level 5 as a result of my training with Cutter, and the last I'd checked, I needed almost 3,000 experience points to hit level 6. To level up off of 2 forest mobs was huge. They must have been packing some serious EXP, which meant I was in the right place at the right time for some solid grinding. Second, wow again, I'd just blasted a bolt of Deathly Shadow from my hand. Awesome. Hardly began to cover it. Yes, the Umbra Bolt skill was badly restricted since I didn't have the proper class yet, but it was still incredibly, wickedly cool. Not to mention, I now had the option to gain the Dark Templar class. I instantly pulled up my wiki, hoping to gather some intel on what type of skills Shadowmancers had, but frowned in disappointment. The wiki was currently unavailable due to my restricted in-game location. Probably the same reason my in-world map hadn't been working properly earlier on. The devs didn't want any information about this particular location leaking to the general public. Finally, I gained my feet, brushed my clothes free of dirt and dead leaves, and retrieved my warhammer from the forest floor. I took a minute to loot the corrupt Waldgeist. Each carried 5 gold, but nothing else. Not a huge surprise, considering the creatures were basically trees. Still, 10 gold from 2 mobs was nothing to scoff at. Part of me wanted to play it safe and go back to the clearing, but the gamer in me screamed that this was way too good an opportunity to pass up. After all, if this was a restricted area of the game, it meant no other players were farming here, which meant great EXP and decent loot. All good. So, yielding to the jabbering voice of my inner greedy gamer, I made my way further into the forest. 13. The Hamadryad. I wound my way deeper and deeper into the forest, stealing from one copse of trees to another, encountering larger and more aggressive groups of corrupt Waldgeist as I progressed. The battles continued to be intense and grueling, but after the first 5 or 6, I started to notice certain predictable patterns in the way they moved and fought. A big haymaker was almost always followed by a short jab and a lunging kick, which offered a narrow opening I could exploit. And exploit it I did. Sidestep right, avoid the kick, plant my warhammer into an exposed chest cavity with devastating results. But those openings and gaffes evolved and changed. Apparently, I wasn't the only one learning. No, the corrupt Waldgeist picked up on my strategy almost as quickly as I picked up on theirs, and they adapted accordingly. Just when I found myself falling into complacency, one of the tree creatures would change tactics, lashing out with a surprise uppercut or catching me off guard with a wild blow that had knocked me from my feet. Smart. Dangerous. And even more troubling, the deeper I went, the faster the creatures became, quickly eliminating one of my major advantages. It made things more difficult overall, but also more interesting. Grinding often got mind-numbingly boring because it was so repetitive. But this was never that. I was never quite sure how things would play out. It had been nearly an hour, and about 20 corrupt Waldgeist later, when I heard the guttural rumble of an inhuman voice coming from a small clearing up ahead. I pulled up my in-game clock and checked the time. 1:25 p.m. I frowned. I really needed to turn around and head back if I wanted to meet Abby on time. But my curiosity got the better of me. I crept forward, wrapped in stealth, cloaked in shadow, feet silent in the undergrowth, and pressed my body up against a tree, stealing a gander around the side of the trunk. The breath caught in my throat. I counted 13 or 14 corrupt Waldgeist wandering around in a lopsided meadow. A few shuffled listlessly, a few more were curled into hollowed-out burrows of mud and stone. Fast asleep. Some were even eating, stuffing their misshapen jaws with clumps of dried dirt or munching on handfuls of rotten leaves. This was some sort of den. Strangest of all, though, was the large, gnarled birch tree in the center of the clearing, surrounded by a fairy ring of brown-capped mushrooms. The tree, labeled as Hamadryad, had a face on it, and not just some crude picture carved into the bark. No, an actual face protruded from the white bark, a bulbous nose of knotted wood, deep-set chestnut-brown eyes, a thin gash of a mouth framed by mossy facial hair.
"You make me sick, all of you," the tree bellowed in an earthy voice. "Why can't you leave my forest in peace?"
His mossy beard fluttered as he hollered.
"You come here and spread your rot around, corrupt my brothers with your presence. A pox on you, on all of you."
The corrupt Waldgeist ignored the tree's accusatory rant, carrying on about their business as though they were alone in the world. None of them went near the tree man, though. They avoided the toadstone fairy ring as though it carried a deadly poison. The tree continued his ineffectual muttering, offering up colorful curses, occasionally taking a break to complain about how bad the corrupt Waldgeist reeked or fondly reminisce about better times, back before the infection in the forest. It was a strange, surreal scene, and I couldn't help but think of Courage the Cowardly Dog, screaming and bug-eyed as he confronted a talking tree. That was my life now. I was Courage the Cowardly Dog. I didn't really know what to do here. The RPG-er in me screamed there was a quest to be had, but the realist in me said there was no way I could take on that many corrupt Waldgeist and walk away. I was simply outmatched and too low level, especially without the benefits of having a class yet. I pulled up my map and marked the spot with a personal quest marker, then jotted down a note. Weird-faced tree creature in mushroom fairy ring. I closed out of the map and turned away, ready to hustle back toward the ruined temple, and my alarm went off. The one I'd set for myself as a reminder to wrap things up, the prrp, 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 was only audible inside my head, but that didn't keep it from startling the heck out of me. I jumped at the sound, irrationally afraid the corrupt Waldgeist would somehow hear it. I managed to dismiss the alarm, but in all my reckless commotion, I'd broken out of stealth mode. A fact which was plainly obvious since the host of Corrupt Waldgeist immediately streamed toward me, warbling cries of hate rippling through the air as their lanky limbs ate up the distance between us. Looked like I was going to have to fight these things after all. The first one lunged for me from the trees, weathered root arms straining to spill my blood onto the forest floor. I ducked beneath the attack and dove into a roll, which carried me just outside its effective attack range. I popped back up onto my feet a moment later, pivoting, spinning, bringing the warhammer around in a vicious swing. I caught the creature in the back of its neck, dropping it in a single, critical hit blow. I didn't have time to celebrate my lucky break, though, because three more of the creatures were circling around me, hemming me in. I didn't have much in the way of hit points, unfortunately, so I really couldn't afford to take a beating tank style. I needed space to maneuver. I feinted left, then shot right, catching one of the Waldgeist in the knee with the spiked tip of my weapon. The creature wobbled, suddenly unstable, so I charged into it, shouldering it aside and bursting into the meadow beyond. Now in the clear, I sprinted straight for the fairy ring surrounding the strange talking tree. Another of the root creatures barreled in as I neared the ring, throwing its body forward in an awkward dive. I leapt, feet passing above the outstretched creature, a running back clearing the offensive line for a TD, barely avoiding the tangle of limbs. I landed hard, stumbled, then wheeled around and smashed my hammer into the creature's exposed head, ending its existence. Finally, I hurled my body inside the protection of the fairy ring, safe at last. At least, I hoped my hunch was correct and that the ring would offer some protection. If I was wrong, my little excursion was going to quickly end with a painful game over. I waited, shoulders tense, muscles flexed, as the horde of remaining corrupt Waldgeist circled back around, pressing in toward the ring of mushrooms. One creature, partially composed of rock, twigs, and old deer bones, charged my position, only to rebound from an unseen force field surrounding the strange tree. I let out a shuddering sigh of relief.
"Smart thinking, boy,"
came a booming voice from behind me. I leapt in shock and spun, hammer raised, though careful to stay inside the ring.
"No need for that,"
the tree said, gesturing toward my hammer with bushy green eyebrows.
"Me thinks we're on the same side. The real question now is, how do you plan to escape?"
I lowered the hammer and turned back to survey the scene. The tree man had a point. I was safe for the time being, but I was also trapped. Trapped and surrounded on every side. I'd have to leave eventually, but there wasn't a good way to go about that.
You see the problem, the tree boomed sagely. Not only are we on the same side, we are in the same boat. Exactly the same boat. You see, I erected the fairy ring barrier to keep their infection out.
He nodded toward the Waldgeist, his trunk groaning from the movement.
But as a result, my influence is confined to this damned circle. A stopgap measure ensuring my safety, but a surefire loser in the long run.
Suddenly, a wave of exhaustion hit me, and I dropped to my butt, letting my weapon fall to the leaf-strewn ground beside me. Heading for the fairy ring had seemed like such a good idea in the moment. I let out a long, tired sigh and leaned back on my hands. I could jump in and out of the protection of the toadstool circle, try to take them out one at a time, but if even one of them caught me in a root spell, I'd be trapped and dead. Not a lot of good choices.
It seems to me, the tree said after several moments of quiet, disturbed only by the restless shuffling of the corrupt Waldgeist, that we might be able to help each other.
I'm listening, I replied, glancing over one shoulder at the tree.
Excellent, excellent. It might be that I could break this fairy ring and exert my considerable influence to see you safely from this clearing. But in return, I'll need you to do a somewhat significant favor for me. You see, once I break the fairy ring, I'll be exposed to the infection plaguing this forest. In time, it will kill me. Or worse, transform me into a
greater corrupt Waldgeist.
But if you destroy the evil tainting the forest, it will undo these vile abominations and restore the balance of this land. I help you, you help me. Tit for tat. And if you succeed in this quest, I'll even grant you the blessing of the forest.
He paused, wooden lips puckered.
So, what say you, boy?
A new quest alert popped up.
Quest alert. Cleanse the taint. A powerful Hamadryad has requested your assistance in cleansing an evil presence that is tainting the forest, creating a host of corrupt Waldgeist. Venture to the fallen ruins not far to the west and destroy the source of the dark taint. Quest class. Rare. Quest difficulty. Hard. Success. Destroy the source of the dark taint within 24 in-game hours. Failure. Fail to destroy the source of the dark taint within 24 in-game hours. Reward. 10,000 EXP. Blessing of the forest. Your relationship with forest-aligned factions will improve from neutral to friendly. If you fail, you will receive Curse of the Forest. Your relationship with forest-aligned factions will decrease from neutral to unfriendly. Accept? Yes? No?
I stared at the screen, reading over the quest once, twice, three times, then checking and double-checking the reward. What were the chances the ruins this tree guy wanted me to clear were the very same ruins I was already on my way to clear? Pretty good. And though the quest difficulty was listed as hard, turning down a rare quest at this stage in the game, or any stage really, was stupid. Besides, what other option did I have? If I didn't accept, the tree wouldn't help me escape, which was a certain death sentence.
Okay, I said somewhat half-heartedly, selecting accept.
Skill bump.
1, 2, 3,
the Hamadryad shouted, his voice nearly deafening up close. Sweat dotted my brow, and a nervous energy caused my warhammer to tremble in anticipation as I stared down the horde of corrupt Waldgeist
barring my path. Even accounting for the 3 I'd managed to kill, there were still over 10 of them. 10. This seemed like a dumb idea, but I was already committed. So when the tree hit 3, I bolted straight out, dismissing the pang of worry nestled in my gut. The root monsters came for me the second I cleared the toadstool ring, clawed hands extended. I met their advance with my hammer. Clocking one in the face with a glancing blow, sending it stumbling away in shock, then smashing a forearm and jabbing the weapon up at an angle into another's jaw. The damage wasn't sufficient to put down the corrupt Waldgeist for keeps, but it did clear a path. More streamed in from the left and right, though, so unless the Hamadryad came through for me, they were going to shortly converge on me and rip me limb from limb. I tried not to think about that, and instead hunched forward, dropping my head, and kept charging right on ahead. Just as the creatures entered my peripheries, a gigantic snap-boom reverberated in the air as huge tree roots, big as jungle pythons, ripped their way free from the ground, dusty earth raining down. The tree roots writhed and stretched, curling around the encroaching corrupt Waldgeist like giant hands, crushing frail bodies and holding them firmly in place. A mega version of the root spell that had ensnared me earlier. Pretty cool, actually. For a moment, I kept running, eager to leave the clearing behind. But then, I came to a stuttering halt. I turned and quickly assessed the scene. The tree man had managed to ensnare all of the corrupt Waldgeist, and although I didn't know how long this spell would last, for the time being, they were completely defenseless. Helpless. I'd come out here to grind some EXP, and those were basically free points if I had the guts to take them. I rushed back in with a warbling war cry and went to town, caving in heads with brutal efficiency. They couldn't move, couldn't fight back. It was easier than smashing a piñata without a blindfold. The whole process took less than a minute. The Hamadryad enthusiastically spurred me on with hoots of approval the whole time. And before I knew it, I'd killed every creature and cleared a ton more EXP. I looted the bodies with practiced efficiency and, after another quick goodbye and good luck from the tree man, headed back toward the ruins and my appointed meeting with Abby. I pulled up my menu as I walked, deciding a little multitasking would save me from the tedium of a long, boring return trip. First, I checked my new quest and was pleased to find the evil presence tainting the forest was, indeed, located at the ruins I was already scheduled to raid. 2 birds with 1 stone. Next, I toggled over to my character screen, eager to examine the gains I'd made in this little restricted slice of the world. ×8 level up. You have 65 undistributed stat points. Stat points can be allocated at any time. You have 12 unassigned proficiency points. Proficiency points can be allocated at any time. So far, I'd managed to push myself to level 14. Not bad the way I figured things. True, there were probably players out there at much higher levels, but I still had some big quests remaining to my name, and those quests came with some hefty EXP bonuses. The biggest problem I had at the moment wasn't my level. It was my lack of class. Even knowing the Shadowmancer kit likely lay in my future wasn't much help, since I couldn't access a wiki or pull up a class description. Without that, I really had no idea what major stats to invest my finite stash of points into. Annoying, but there was nothing I could do about it right now. As soon as I wrapped up this business with Abby, though, I was jumping headlong into the quest provided by that Merkelf shaman. Satisfied with my progress, I dismissed my character screen and pulled up my inventory. I'd accumulated over 100 gold coins and almost double that in silver, which was quite the haul. And I'd also managed to get a few item drops to boot. Though most of the corrupt Waldgeist only dropped coins, one had dropped a short sword with a +1 to strength, and another had given me a set of black braided leather leggings with a +1 constitution bonus and an extra 2% resistance to fire. Despite the sword's extra stat bonuses, I decided to stick with my warhammer. It just felt right in my hands. Besides, During my short grind session, I'd already managed to raise my blunt weapon skill to level 4, which added an extra 11% damage to all blunt weapon attacks. It'd be a shame to start over after all of that. The new leggings, though, were a heck of a lot better than the shoddy, rough trousers I was currently sporting, so I swapped those in a heartbeat. With that done, I decided to finally check out my skills section. After unwittingly spending a point on the Umber Bolt spell, I had 12 unassigned proficiency points remaining, and I wasn't even sure what they did. When I pulled up the skills menu, a huge screen spread out before me, with a variety of different skill trees splayed out in the air. Blunt weapons, bladed weapons, archery, unarmed, forging, crafting, enchanting, merchant craft, heavy armor, medium armor, light armor, stealth, lockpick, magecraft, animist, and healer. Wow, there was almost too much information to take in. Each skill had its own unique branch with specialty abilities, which could be invested in by allocating proficiency points. Since I was reasonably sure I was going to stick with the Warhammer, regardless of which class I ultimately ended up with, I selected the Blunt Weapons tree to see what kind of cool abilities I could unlock. At my relatively low level with Blunt Weapons, there weren't many options available. At higher levels, however, I could unlock skills like Skull Bash, a special power attack capable of stunning enemies while also ignoring 50% of an opponent's base armor rating, or the Crush Armor ability, which came out with a 250% attack bonus against opponents in heavy plate. Powerful stuff. Even at my paltry level 4, however, there were a few cool things I could do. First, I invested 1 point into Savage Blow, an attack that cost 20 stamina, increased damage by 25%, and raised critical hit by 15%. I also picked Parry, increasing my chance of blocking without a shield while additionally giving me a 10% chance to counterattack with a 125% movement bonus. That dropped me down to 10 points to invest, but I felt happy with my choice. I was getting ready to check out what the stealth tree had to offer when I broke from the tree line and into the meadow I'd left Cutter cooling his heels in. I paused mid-step and dismissed the menu hovering in front of me. There was a broad-shouldered Risi warrior wearing heavy black-coated plate mail, and he had Cutter pinned in front of him, a wicked blade held tight against the thieve's throat. XV. Abbey Intrigue.
"Don't take another step,"
the Risi warrior growled, fangs barred in a rictus.
"Not unless you'd care to see what the inside of your friend's throat looks like."
"How did you let him sneak up on you?"
I hissed at Cutter, trying to decide what to do.
"You're supposed to be a super ninja thief. That guy doesn't look all that stealthy."
"I fell asleep,"
Cutter replied through gritted